365 days a year.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10 and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Piola Fon Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 98 years. And we're here today with the Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services. We're here with Gustavo Prado, who's coordinator of Our County Our Kids, and Mariana Regan, who is the operation manager for Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services. And we're going to talk about everything from foster care to adoptions to why I still have a New York accent. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to go on for probably more than our usual hour. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, this is timely because November is National Adoption Awareness Month. And the awareness about adoption should be, I think, every month. But what happens in Awareness Month?
Well, Adoption Awareness Month, believe it or not, started way back in the mid-70s in my home state of Massachusetts. And it was about bringing awareness to the needs of children in foster care and helping to find adoptive homes for them. And it really evolved over time until sometime in the 90s, I believe President Clinton declared November as National Adoption Awareness Month. And what's really interesting is very close to home here in Los Angeles County, the very first National Adoption Day started. And that happened because the presiding judge down in Los Angeles said, you know, there are a lot of children in foster care that need to be adopted, and our calendar is really filled. So I'm going to ask everyone to volunteer their time to come in on a Saturday and get all of these kids adopted. And that started National Adoption Day, and that has been about 19 years now. And here in Santa Barbara County, we have our own National Adoption Day, which is on November 20th. Yes, we have November 20th in Santa Barbara County is National Adoption Day. And in our juvenile court in Santa Maria, we will be having the adoption, I think, of 6 children that day. And we make it a celebratory day to raise awareness for children in foster care that need to be adopted.
So you mentioned foster care, and that's a good part of what we're going to be talking about today. And is foster care the only track for adoption? If you want to adopt, do you foster first, or is there a path directly to adoption?
That is a great question. So there are two types of adoptions, private and public. And so what we work on at the Department of Social Services are public adoptions. And those are children who have all been in foster care and then become available to be adopted.
So when a child is, and I guess one of your roles also is to intercede when there is a problem in a home, somebody mm-hmm. calls Child Protective Services, mm-hmm. and it turns out that the child needs to be taken out of the home. What happens? You're the first on call besides the police. I mean, are you mm-hmm. you're the ones that have to evaluate and decide what the
yes.
The next step is?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the social workers who work in our department, which is Child Welfare Services, we investigate child abuse. We work hard to try to strengthen families and support families so children don't have to be removed. But if a child does need to be removed from their home because they've suffered either neglect or abuse, then we will remove that child and then start the process of finding an appropriate foster home.
So when you remove a child from the home, obviously the child is traumatized from whatever events caused it in the first place, and also losing their home. What happens to them the first day? Where do they go?
There are a variety of options. One of the first things we might try to do is find a relative that we can place them with on an emergency basis, or we find a foster home that can support their needs. And we work very hard, and Gustavo can talk about this, to ensure that our families receive training and preparation so they know what the unique needs of a child are. Because whenever a child is removed from their home, that is a traumatic event, and the children do need support.
And so the people who are hopefully going to be able to take on that role are not trained that day. There, you have obviously worked with these people for a period of time, so they're prepared.
Exactly. Ideally, again, we place children with families if we need to separate them from their home. The reason we place them with families is because, well, as you commented, you know, the children are traumatized, and if they move in with relatives or people who know them, not just relatives, but also kinfolk, which might be a soccer coach or a teacher or a friend of a friend's parents, it's just a person who cares for the child, it actually eases that transition for the child. So we start, you know, pretty much right away. We run background checks on all families, make sure that they're safe, be it a relative or a non-relative person. And then from there, we work with them to provide them information and support and guidance to have them go through their process to care for the child. The actual overall process to become a foster parent in Santa Barbara County is about a 90-day process and includes a full inspection of the home, a walk through the home by a licensing worker, background checks, criminal checks, child abuse background checks, training. I mean, we provide 12 hours of training. And then from there, they go through a social study where they talk about, families talk about their personal background, their parenting background, their discipline background, and their goals in regards to caring for the child. Because ultimately, as we go forward, you know, our goal is to have children go back to families, to their biological families. But if they can't, at the same time, we're preparing the families to care for the children as they come in. We're preparing them for the possibility of becoming permanent parents, adoptive parents.
So after the election, the presidential election in 2016, I stopped watching television. I can't deal with the television anymore, so I watched Netflix and all the streaming services, and I've got myself caught up in British crime drama, and that sort of takes me out of the reality of what's going on here. And
I watch America's Funniest Home Videos.
I don't have a DVD anymore, so DVR. A lot of the plots of these British shows have kids coming out of what they call care, C-A-R-E. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know, that's a euphemism for not being able to be adopted. And it's always a horror story. It's always these kids come out and they talk about, oh my, it was horrible. And the police will say, well, they were in care for a long time. Do we have anything like that in this country, in California, in Santa Barbara? Care or someplace where you just drop the kids and they have a miserable life?
Well, ideally not. We work really hard to prepare families to receive children because we're not, one of the misconceptions is that, you know, we are helping families find children, but our goal is to find, you know, homes for our children instead. Mm-hmm. So we are, you know, we're fairly stringent in our process of, you know, interviewing families, meeting families, and working with them to help them understand that, you know, even a relative who knows a child, see a grandma, a grandpa, a grandparent who knows a child, you know, help them understand that the child now comes with an extra duffel bag of trauma, of stuff. And we work to prepare families to, you know, to achieve what we call parenting plus, which is to be a regular mom and dad, plus that extra 25% of readiness to meet the child's needs.
Well, I'm a parent and a grandparent, and people who don't have children, they'll find out how difficult it is, even with the resources that I had to deal with children. And so you're talking about kids that have had a difficult life. You're talking about parents that may not have ever been parents before. It's a really daunting task to match these kids under normal circumstances, but given the situation, in order to keep your mental health, do you ever get to see the whole spectrum? Do you ever get to see somebody 10 years later who you took in, and now they're, you know, at MIT getting their third PhD.
Funny that you mentioned that, because prior to the show, Gustavo and I were reflecting on the success of some of the children that we have worked with. Gustavo and I have worked together for 20 plus years.
I thought you looked alike. You know,
people confuse us for brother and sister all the time. And, you know, we were really, you know, reflecting on some children who came from some pretty rough backgrounds and who are now, we have a child, you know, at an Ivy League college in Massachusetts. Yeah. We have one at an Ivy League college in Northern California. Yeah. We have children who have grown up and gone on to have successful families. And, you know, I think we were talking about the, you know, the in care and the horrible experience. I think the flip side of that is that children teach us as adults how to be good parents and how to be better people. And we get the reward when we can help a child thrive.
Well, I'm glad that you do get the benefit of seeing successes, because, and we all should be grateful for what you do. I don't know how you can maintain your own mental health when you're dealing with some of the most awful parts of humanity. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with the Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services, Gustavo Prado, who is the coordinator of Our County, Our Kids, and that's a foster program. We're going to get...
It's our foster care recruitment support and training program.
Okay. And Mariana Regan, who, among other things, is your boss.
She's my boss.
And you just stopped me from introducing her, and I hope she's not upset about that. You're okay, right? You're
okay. I am so this is a, okay
so
with
this
that.
Is a, this, is a, this is a county department. And our county includes Santa Maria. And mm-hmm. Santa Maria and Santa Barbara are really very different.
Yes.
How does that manifest itself in your work?
Well, the reality is that the city of Santa Barbara has a greater level of resources available to families, meaning there's more nonprofit support, there's more therapeutic support programs available, more recreational support programs. Santa Maria and Lompoc are coming along, and North County is receiving a lot of support from South County now. So we're seeing the development of more support programs. For example, CALM, one of the agencies that we work with across the counties now, has offices in Lompoc and Santa Maria. We see Casa Pacifica from Ventura coming up also. They had a plant here in Santa Barbara. Now they're moving up to North County as well. So, you know, the overall press is to enhance services to our families. They're in North County because the population is also very different. The population in North County tends to be more migrants. Migrant workers tends to be more service workers. There tends to be more visible poverty in Santa Maria and Lompoc. And so I think that tends to tip how we manage our caseload.
How do you deal with citizenship? You walk into a family and they're not documented.
Department of Social Services does not report to immigration services.
Mm-hmm. And the number of people in your system, is it equal between the counties? Counties are about the same population. I mean, the north and south is about the same population. Is it more people in the north or the south, or is it about the same?
Well, unfortunately, a greater percentage of the caseload, we would call it, is in North County. So, for example, when we're speaking about, you know, foster homes and the need for foster homes and children in care, we have about maybe 70% of the children in need of placement, safe homes, you know, are in Lompoc and Santa Maria, and about 30% are in South County, Santa Barbara.
And what's the number we're talking about? How many kids come through your system on a yearly mm-hmm. basis?
Right now, in the county of Santa Barbara, yeah. we have about 400 kids in foster care, and that's a little higher. Usually we're around 350 or so, and that's a big decrease from 10 years ago, actually.
But it's still one a day.
We take, well, that's total number of yeah. children. Some of the children may have been in care for 2 years. But as far as how many children enter the system each year in our county, it's about 200.
So just so we get the terminology correctly, we were talking about foster care, then you said some of them may have been in care.
Foster care.
Oh, foster care. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's the first step. And so I know you said that foster care usually comes first, but do you have parents coming to you where they go to agencies saying, I really want to adopt a kid? I would like to adopt a kid. Here I am. Take a look at me. Mm-hmm. And then is it possible to match these kids with people who've already come in the door to skip foster care?
Someone can become licensed in our county, or I would say approved, but they need to be approved as a foster parent. Now, they can choose to only accept children into their home that will be adopted, but that would be their choice. All families that come to us, we equip them to be foster parents and adoptive parents.
Okay, so the kids that are going to be foster kids, we talked about before the show, New York accents. Foster is a hard word for a New Yorker to say correctly. Foster. These foster kids are mm-hmm. When you find a foster kid that is 2 years old and very mm-hmm. adoptable, mm-hmm. Do you classify that kid as adoptable? And there's a 12-year-old you say is not. This is just for. Mm-hmm. Do you have classifications?
I see where you're going.
Right.
So, pretty much as standard, the way we operate, and this is part of, juvenile court and the law in California, is that when a child is in foster care, usually the first step is to try to reunify them with their biological parents or their family of origin. And your example, a child who's 2 years old, we would also probably have what we call a concurrent plan for them. So if we thought that, yes, at two, you're highly adoptable, we would be placing them with a family that would try to help reunify them and also be available for adoption if reunification fails. And it's really all kids that we work that way with. All kids are adoptable in our eyes, but usually it might start with trying to reunify, and then if that isn't successful, adoption. And that can be a pretty heavy emotional lift for, a foster parent to deal with.
So
I have to work, to maybe reunify and also adopt at the same time.
So I've heard so many stories of people that are desperate for a child, and they'll pay $50,000, $100,000 to go to a lawyer and try to figure out how to get a child. Why isn't the line out the door in your place? Or is it where people are so desperate for a child, and it's, I guess it's free if it goes through the county. Mm-hmm. Or is it that, is there that kind of line?
Well, actually, we're fortunate that there are a lot of families who are interested in foster adopt. But when we work with families, we do explain to them that really the first option and the best option for kids is to go back to their biological families, be it a tiny human who's a few months old, or be it a 12 or 14-year-old. The goal of the law and really the, you know, the ethical, moral best practice for the child is to work with the family.
Okay, so how long does that last? So you have a one-year-old whose parents were drug addicts, they were abusive. Now you put the kid into foster care, and after 2 years, the kid is thriving and loves mm-hmm. his foster parents, mm-hmm. and then they adopt or they try to. What happens in, when the, 10 years now, when the parents mm-hmm. get sober? I mean, is there a point where mm-hmm. it's over?
Well, the law in California is pretty clear about reunification. So if the child is under three, it starts with a 6-month window. They show progress at 6 months, you get 12. It cannot go longer than 18. And that's for a child under three. So that 10-year, that wouldn't happen.
So there's a statute.
And for a child over three, it's 12 months up to 18. But 18 months is the limit of reunification.
And the people on your staff are not only trained, they're licensed therapists of some.
No. Our social workers, some are bachelor level social worker, master's level social mm. workers. They're not necessarily clinicians, but they are trained in social work, in child development, in trauma, and they function more as case managers, advocates, and work with the children. They work with the biological families and the foster families.
And what happens when the child doesn't have parents? There's a death or. That still goes through the same protocol through to a foster parent if there's no parents in the possible to come into the picture again.
I think that is a situation that is handled very differently depending on what that family's resources are. You know, if there are relatives, they may just go to a probate court or get guardianship. That could come to us. It may not.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Chrysell, and we're here today talking about adoption and talking about foster care with Gustavo Prado and Mariana Regan from the Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services. And we've been talking about what they do. Let's try to step back a second and see who they are. So what interested you in this? From a very young age, was this your education? What got you involved?
Well, how much time do you have?
We have. We're going to stay on the air for longer.
I actually started my career as a music therapist, believe it or not, in Boston, and I moved out here to get my master's degree in clinical psychology. And one of the things I realized is that I was really a social worker at heart. That I really believe in really that grassroots social work and building community. And I applied for a job at Child Welfare Services, not really knowing what I was getting myself into. But once I started working there, I realized how important it is to be a voice for children who have been abused and neglected, and how important it is to work with their families of origin and try to support them. And I've stayed there for 20 years because that passion for me to really improve children's lives has stayed with me for 21 years now.
So I went to a think tank last week, which is an annual event in Los Angeles. A local philanthropist up here does this every year about the neurobiology of 0 to 3 and how important it is to to have children interact with parents and interact with all types of non-computerized things in order to have their brain, because the 0 to 2 is where the brain growth comes, and so, and they have the world-class scientists come, and one person who's apparently worldwide known just wrote a paper on how music is so important, and they did a seminal study, which I don't know how they got away with it, a 20-year study where they took kids and they took half of a third of them had music from the very beginning. A third of them, they made sure they didn't do music, and a third of them was just random. And they found that kids that did music and kept up with music learned much better over the years. And they're not sure why, but there's whether they were good or bad at music, but there's something about music in young children that... So there's a connection. I just a random thought, just wanted to throw that out.
Okay.
So Gustavo,
Well, my background is special education, and so I was actually working as a behavior analyst, and I was recruited in, and I'll go in and give her a plug because I love her a lot, by an awesome veteran social worker by the name of Liz Boltz.
She's famous.
You have to love Liz.
Yes.
And like Marianne, when I was recruited in, I really had no idea what Child Welfare Services is or was back then. But for me, it really touched my passion for my community. I'm locally born and bred in Santa Barbara County, and I've seen the ups and downs of the community. I've unfortunately seen a lot of the downs as I grew up, and I think it gave me the opportunity to express my desire to help, to engage, to help families improve themselves, to have better outcomes for kids. And so for me, I've been involved in Child Welfare Services since 1996, and I've developed in that role as a trainer, as a mentor, and now as a recruiter and program developer. And I just see it as the opportunity to have a positive impact, leave a positive footprint in my community through my work.
You say recruiter. You're recruiting more people to do this, or recruiting kids?
What I do specifically in my I'm always recruiting social workers when I meet a quality person, a quality young professional who's interested in working with families and working in child welfare. I certainly always encourage them to look into it more. There's a lot of young folks that I mentor, and I provide guidance towards social work, towards studies in social work. My actual job is actually to recruit families for our kids, and to help families understand the process of becoming a foster parent, to understand the needs of the kids that they're bringing in. We really, really hone in on how do we keep them, the families, strong and stable, Because again, in my viewpoint, the most important therapy for a child who's been traumatized, who's been abused or neglected, you know, the most important therapy is really a good, healthy, regular home.
So what are the what is the most important quality? I can imagine it's very difficult. You're a family that has three kids that are grown. You're a family that didn't have kids. You're a family that has already two kids. Who is the target family that would make the best foster?
It would be a family that has a little room in their home and a lot of room in their heart.
So is it hard? I mean, is it? Do they get paid? Is there a stipend for this?
There's a reimbursement stipend that goes with that because, you know, kids do cost. And so the government does provide a stipend towards them, towards their care, and also provides health care through Medi-Cal for the children.
So it seems to me, and maybe it's the cynicism in me to take on this responsibility, particularly if you already have children, is quite a commitment.
It can be daunting because I think Marianne mentioned earlier that families, we see families fall in love with kids. Children are made to be fallen in love with. And, you know, when a family brings in a child who's been harmed in one way or another, and they have the intention, the desire to help a child in that kind of condition, it actually can kind of ratchets up that openness of their heart. So what we do when we work with them, we help them understand that and embrace the reality of, for example, that they are falling in love with the kids and the children are falling in love back with them. And so we work with them to, one, support that relationship between them, but also we always help families understand as the children go through the reunification process, the children might go back to biological families. And that's tough. My family was a foster family back when I was growing up. And I remember many times coming home from school and my mother was weeping because the child was picked up. And we would all feel that loss, you know, of having a baby or a teenager or whomever living with us for anywhere from a few months to a year and a half. And, you know, when I talk about myself and my childhood as and my family being a foster family for others, I'm talking about back in the 70s. So literally the social worker would arrive, drop the child off, come back many months later, then simply just come up and pick up the child and not provide us the support to process that loss. You know, that morning that we would go into.
Well, that brings up a really interesting point. There's really three parties in this. There's the parent, the foster parent, mm-hmm. there's the foster kid, and there are the biological mm-hmm. kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's a real interesting triangle mm-hmm. yeah. that has
and,
to be.
And I think that triangle works best when there is some level of communication between everyone. You know, my experience is, the most successful outcomes for children really happen when the foster family and the biological family work together. And, you know, that can take many forms, but it's really an important part of our message and our training is that a child comes from a family. You know, a child has connections to a biological family.
And then when we looked at the foster family, the children within the foster family, we do our best also to support the children in the biological mm-hmm. family. When we, for example, our county kids will offer opportunities for example, here in Santa Barbara County, in Santa Barbara, we do the holiday, the Christmas light show, the light tour here in Santa Barbara. So we invite children, you know, not only kids in foster care, but the biological kids who live in that family. You know, we have the Elks in Santa Maria has a great program where they donate bikes to our kids. And we make those bikes available not just to the kids in foster care, but to the biological kids at home because, you know, we don't want the biological kids to feel bad, mm-hmm. to feel left out. And so, and it helps the family system in general to treat them all together as one family. And at that point, it's really good for our kids because one of our goals for our kids is for them to establish permanency. And which is what, you know, and either returning back to biological family or being adopted is the ultimate permanency. But within there, we want our kids to feel like they belong and that the family belongs to them.
Yeah, I mentioned before the show that my wife is an LCSW, and she believes the only therapy, if there's a family, is family therapy. Because when you talk to one person in the family, you're not getting the whole picture. You really need to, and I'm glad to see that that's something that you guys focus on. On your shirt, it says adopt and mentor.
Foster, adopt, and mentor.
Okay. So what's a mentor? So you can be a mentor without being either a foster or a adoptor?
Yes, what we do with our Canary Kids as we work with the community and, you know, try to bring in families to work with our kids, there's a lot of good people who step forward and with a desire to mentor or to support our kids, be their friends or whatnot. The Department of Social Services and our Canary Kids is not able to support that. But we have good relationships with the CASA program, court-appointed special advocates here in Santa Barbara County.
So where do these kids, I don't understand, where do these kids live now? Someone who's being mentored, are they not with a foster parent?
In a foster home.
And the foster parent is okay with having somebody come in and mentor their new, isn't that... but sort of confusing.
Well, it's part of our development of the families. We make sure the families understand that there's a whole team, a whole network working with the child. Because in child welfare services, safety for a child is defined by a network of loving people. So that includes mentors like the CASA program or the Big Brother Big Sister program, and we work, you know, with them, and we have very good relationships with them. And for example, if we have a person who's interested in mentoring, we make sure we have a warm handoff of that person to that program.
Yeah. Well, you know what's amazing? Listening to you and how intricate and how multifaceted what you do is, it drives me nuts when people say, "I don't like government." I mean, you think about what it takes. You know, Hillary was right. It takes a village. In this case, it takes the Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. We're here with Gustavo Prado and Marianne Regan, and we're talking about all the work that the Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services does with foster care and adoptions. And, you know, I just read this thing that says, AHA, helping teens achieve goals. Do you work with teens also?
Yes, we do. We have many teens in foster care, and, you know, teens are
difficult.
In general, they are difficult, and they're also very rewarding. You know, I think that A family that takes in a teen and provides them with love and support, you know, is really going to help that teen achieve their potential, whether that's going to college, finishing high school, getting a job, you know, connecting with their family. I mean, fostering a teen can be very rewarding.
You know, it's so interesting. When AHA raises money, it has sometimes resistance. People will give to little kids, to old people. But a lot of donors don't like to give to teens. There's this sort of aversion.
There's a certain myth, you know, with teenagers, that teenagers are just more difficult to work with. And at least in our experience, teens, like all kids, just want to be treated well, want to be safe, want to have a clean home, want to be able to predict when their caregiver, their mom or their dad, is going to be there. And you know, like for example, the kids that we have in foster care here in Santa Barbara County, and I think I would say comfortably say all kids in foster care, they want just to be regular kids. So our teenagers, you know, they themselves strive to develop that for themselves. And you know, what we do, we work with our families and we prepare our families to work with teenagers and recognize that really what they're going through most of the time are just regular teenage things. Kids can be sometimes cranky, they can be sometimes goofy, sometimes needy, sometimes independent, just your standard garbage.
You're describing me.
I was thinking the same thing.
And that's exactly it. Our kids are kids. We're all kids,
we
really.
We can find a home for you, yeah, if you'd like.
my wife would appreciate that. So before the break, we were talking about mentorships, and mentorships does not necessarily mean just a person. You also work with businesses, and businesses could, you know, have a real stake in what happens here, because if to have a vibrant community, you need to make sure that you have a family structure that's, you know, a place where people want to live. So how do you go about engaging businesses?
Well, working with businesses, you know, our county kids has what's called the Inspire program, and the Inspire program is our foster family friendly program, and we mentioned a network of support for kids, that safety is based on a network, and so our Inspire business partners become part of that network, and we specifically have arrangements with our Inspire businesses where they'll provide discounts to families, to foster families. They'll provide discounts to older kids who are former foster youth as well. So, for example, they can go to a dealership and get a cheap set of tires. Not cheap tires, but a lower cost set of tires for their car. The businesses also have been really awesome, and they offer us mentorships and apprenticeships for our kids. For example, Avis in Santa Maria offered us 6 positions within their offices in Santa Maria for older foster youth. And 6 positions that we filled very quickly with kids who were looking for, again, who kids in foster care, older kids, teenagers, who just wanted to be just regular kids. And they were provided this opportunity. And they came into the opportunity at Avis, and they basically took it over and made it their own. And I know one of those kids has been moving up through the Avis management. And a couple other kids were motivated to go to college and start looking at more, you know, working in business and communications. So businesses have a very, very, you know, strong impact on what we do.
You know, one of our sponsors is CSUCI, Cal State University of Channel Islands, and almost 70% of their students are first generation. Mm-hmm. And I take that, A, because I wanted to plug them, but also because there are so many groups that are working to make this a better community. And one of the things that I think is so important about what you do, it touches on every one of those areas, because the children are going to be the adults of the future.
And that is such a beautiful statement you just made, that we all really need to keep at our forefront. The kids are our future. The kids will be our doctors. They will be our grocers. They will be our delivery people. They're the people that are going to be taking care of us one of these days.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, we say it's our county, our kids, with the idea that all of us are working together for that goal, which is to end the cycle of child abuse and help children thrive.
And, you know, so many of these things have not an easy answer. From my understanding, a lot of the child abuse issues are related to drugs. So you've got this, you know, sort of, what's the word, comorbidity mm-hmm. of problems here. It could be alcoholism, it could be drugs, it could be mental problems. So you really have to work with, and you do, all of the people who are involved in making this a better place, because you don't know where this kid's problem, this family's problems have come from.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ultimately, with our children in care and our children and children in general, again, it goes back to permanency and having the ability to have mom or dad there or a caring adult there, you know, the caring adult who will walk them down the aisle, you know, the caring adult that the college kid can come back and raid the refrigerator or do their laundry. You know, the caring adult that can, you know, have them over for Christmas. And, you know, it is about finding, we work hard to help children develop those relationships. And that goes back to our recruitment efforts and our collaboration with other groups, you know, CASA, the colleges, other nonprofit groups, the service sector that all come together. And for me, I'm always grateful to see the availability of folks who want to help. And realize that, you know, they're wanting to help our kids simply because they have that desire, you know, they have that vocational, you know, instinct to them.
What about faith-based? Are you involved with getting those groups involved?
Well, under our Counter Kids, we have the Elevates Initiative, which is our faith-based initiative, and you know, we're also very, you know, we're fortunate because in Santa Barbara County, the faith community is very active. They actually reach out to us and ask us how they can help our families, and not just our kids in foster care, but all our families that we're working with. And when we talk, our faith initiative focuses on all faiths, you know, and we're hoping that there is a faith group out there that's listening to this broadcast and realizes that a way to help others is to help children in foster care, not just in Santa Barbara County through the Arrow County Kids program, but also in Ventura County through the Homes with Heart program. You know, we have a great need, and we look at the faith community. The faith community is geared towards serving our kids because they have not only the institutional capacity, the infrastructure to do so, but also the mission to do so. And that mission just meshes, you know, completely with our efforts to help families.
Well, and they're also involved with families and probably have information and sort of understanding about what takes place. I mean, the only risk would be sort of proselytizing, you know, and, you know, taking kids in to make sure that they follow their view, and hopefully they're more non-sectarian.
Mm. And we're fortunate in our dynamic with the faith community. You know, we do have that dialogue, and we go into the semiotic of it, of the belief system, and we're able to find that common ground, which is helping families and kids. And with kids in foster care is, you know, ideally having one faith center wrap itself around one kid, one child in foster care and one foster family, and to just embrace them. And again, it goes back to our ongoing concept of the need for a network of support for our kids. Again, safety is based on the network of people that care for them.
The supervisors realize how important this is. When there were budget cuts 7-8 years ago, were you untouched, or was everyone touched? There's a loaded question. Go ahead.
I don't know. I just don't know the answer. Okay.
Because it would be short-sighted. The point is that if you it costs more money. Mm-hmm. You know, to treat homeless people, to treat people in prison, ultimately, than it costs. I'm just making a plug that they shouldn't cut your budget.
Thank you.
Your
I appreciate
budget.
That. Plug away.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education. Believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Gustavo Prado, coordinator of Our County, Our Kids at the Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services, and Marianne Regan, operation manager of the Santa Barbara County Department of Social Services. We've been talking about this important work that they do, fostering adoption. And what can citizens do to help? Someone listening to this and says, wow, you know, I'm not really prepared to be a foster, but I'd like to help. What can they do?
Well, that's kind of the trajectory, actually. People think about it for a year. It's on the average, a family will think about becoming a foster parent for about a year.
What's the age limit? What's the age?
There's no age limit. It's more a matter of the personal capacity to meet a child's needs, and then, to have the space in the home for the child or children. And I say children because some kids don't come in by themselves. You know, oftentimes we bring in siblings. And when earlier we commented on kids being traumatized, I can't think of a greater trauma for a child than to be separated from mm-hmm. sibling. So when we're looking for homes, identifying homes to match our kids to, where we need homes that are willing and able to bring in maybe one, two, even three kids sometimes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so
people who are interested and want to help, one thing that they can do is they can go to our website, which is www.ourcountyourkids.org, and that will talk about our foster program, our mentor program, our adoption program, and we also have a Facebook page. Believe it or not, it's called Our County, Our Kids.
So free advice is worth what you pay for it, but what mm-hmm. I would put on your Facebook page mm-hmm. is a YouTube video of, you see it every 3-4 months on television, the foster parent or the adoptive parent hugging the graduate, and everyone has tears in their eyes, and the 23-year-old says, thank you for saving my life, and the parent says, thank you for being, mm-hmm. That sort of, would be the perfect, that's the end game here. The end game is the sort of the love that takes place between these families.
Well, as a trained social worker, part of my skill is to borrow/steal good ideas. So
exactly.
we're going to do that.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time on Wall Street, and that's all I did. So
excellent.
Steal like good
yeah.
ideas. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, first of all, so much for all you do. It's really wonderful that you've dedicated your life to something this important. And thank everyone for listening. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll see you next week.
Shelly and Chase.